Good. It's so good, it pisses me the fuck off. Like, I am angry and happy, and I can't control my emotions.
Oh, I just saw your shirt.
Yeah, I wore my Hawkeye shirt. Yeah. Dude.
The Arrow guy?
I wouldn't even
Arrow guy. Oh, yeah. My God. Oh, my God.
All right.
Welcome to the Dinner Time Podcast.
Whoa, this is not a dinner
time. It's not a dinner time.
Whatever. I don't care.
This is why you don't host. This is
popcorn.
I'm tired.
Welcome to the Popcorn Cast. I'm Nick Anderson. I'm joined by Christopher Guthridge.
Hey.
Nolan Hedstrom.
How's it going?
And Christopher Davis.
Hello.
Brad could not be here, but he did also watch...
He was with us.
He did also watch Captain America Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about the beer chugging and pie eating.
Oh, the All-American Challenge?
Yeah.
Oh, God. The Alamo Draft House did the All-American Challenge.
That was some bullshit, okay? Because the first guy took his hand out of the water, out of the ice water, and he didn't answer as many correct questions as the other guy. And they were just like, oh, round of applause, who won? Bullshit! Why even have the fucking challenge if
also,
you're just going to decide it by applause? That's
well,
not,
I think also
not,
he cheated by opening the beer with his dong.
That's
hand.
What I'm saying, he pulled his fucking hand out of the ice water. Yeah. That should have been right
also,
there.
Also, the second guy...
You're done. You're just fucking done.
The second guy was also... coming down to the last second to win, and he just shoved the rest of the pie in his mouth, but he didn't swallow it.
It's like competitive eating. You got to swallow and then they have to like.
All right.
I
brought this up as
count.
A joke. Let's
they
not
have to
talk
count
about
for like
this.
15 seconds to make sure you don't just fucking vomit it all back up because that's disqualified.
That's right.
It works just like in porn.
Yes.
Right?
They do that. They have like a ref who sits there with a stopwatch. Is like, okay, hold it all in and cream pie.
And that's the All-American Challenge.
Yes.
That's the All-American Challenge.
Yes.
All right.
Should we provide a little context as to what that was?
No,
or just
no, we're going to leave it where it is. And we're going to talk instead about Captain America Civil War. We're all very, very excited for it. Crispy, was especially excited for it.
I was. Needed this. I really needed it.
I
wasn't worried. I wasn't worried about this movie at all. Like, I knew it was going to be good, but I just needed something, man.
Something to
bring joy back to my life, which this movie did. I couldn't stop fucking grinning the whole goddamn time. The whole time.
So, I guess before we start, I just want to say to anyone listening at home, this obviously is going to be full of spoilers. So, if you haven't seen the movie yet, I would recommend stopping and going to watch the movie, and then coming back and listening.
Maybe even read the books, too. Because I want to talk about the books. Talk about the books, so there's going to be some book spoilers.
All right, fair enough.
Okay.
So where do we start? It was a long movie, so there's a lot to cover.
At the beginning?
Oh, God, it's been so long. What happened at the beginning? Oh, that's right.
At the beginning, they show like, the Winter Soldier process, how they would, like, revive Bucky with the book with the code words in it, and then they'd send him off on his mission, and then...
So, one thing going into this movie I wasn't really sure about was, like, is this whole movie going to be just centered around the fight between the two sides of the Avengers, or is there going to be an underlying, like, villain
to the movie?
There was
a big bad to the movie.
There was a big bad, but he was very subtle, and he just kind of stepped in, did his thing, stepped out, and let the rest happen.
Man, Marvel is like running with, regardless of how you feel about Age of Ultron, which I watched this past weekend, like they are really running with the aftermath of what happened at the end of Age of Ultron, using that kind of like spark.
They've been doing that since after the first Avengers movie, because like this is the third movie now where they've dealt with. Especially Tony Stark, like, being all PTSD.
Yeah.
By, like, all this crazy shit that's going on. That started from New York, and then in Iron Man 3, like, half of that movie is just about him not being able to deal with this. In this movie, when that lady, like, reaches in her purse and he freaks out and grabs her arm, like, dude, that's a wonderful, wonderful bit of characterization that has been carried through these movies, that these movies do really well.
And that's something that we've gotten to see a little more, just because there's been more Iron Man than anything else.
Well,
I think Iron Man's been
like
in the most
the tentpole.
Well, yeah, I know. He's what got everything started.
Yeah,
he's had three movies. He's been in two Avengers movies, and now a Captain America movie, and what else? I'm sure he's been in something else. Oh,
he showed up at the end of The Incredible Hulk.
No, that doesn't count. Anyway.
Wait, the one with Edward Norton.
Yes, he's at the very end. But I anyway, that's besides the point.
That's canonical, like,
We've gotten to see a lot of Tony Stark. And so because of that, we've gotten to see him grow and kind of change his mindset. And this whole, like you're saying, this whole, like, I don't want to say PTSD, but kind of like seeing him more as a person. Like, look at someone like Black Widow. We don't really see her person so much, you know what I'm saying?
They kind of allude to it in Iron Man.
Yeah.
Or in the Avengers.
Iron Man 2, in the Avengers, they got into it a lot. They, the problem with her is that she doesn't have, like, really her own movies to, like, dig into that
kind
of stuff. In fact,
it wasn't until I was watching this movie and during the airport fight, and she had that little bout with Hawkeye,
that was totally remembered.
Beautiful. Oh, they used to totally
they're like best friends, like, and they're fighting each other. They're like, they're on opposite sides of this fight. They're fighting each other, and they're still like friends, but they're just like,
we're cool, right?
And that's the thing about this entire fight was nobody was trying to kill each other.
Nobody was.
They were just trying to kind of push them out of the way so they could do what they want to do.
They came out of the fight.
Yeah, they. I mean, that was something that they did really well. Is that they? I would say this movie handles this particular aspect a lot better than the comic book does, in that they don't ever really make you hate anybody.
Yeah.
Like, you're still, like, you still believe in Iron Man. You still know that he's doing what he thinks is right. It's not this, like, in the book, this all centers around this really big, like, heady, full, like, wide-scale political issue. In the movie, it's much closer to home. Like, everything that's causing this conflict between all the heroes is very personal to them, and you can understand where everybody's coming from. One of the major complaints with the series was that Tony Stark becomes a totalitarian, like, asshole out of nowhere. It really just, like...
Wait, are you talking about the comics or the movie?
In the comics. Yeah. In the comics. Like, he just...
How could you have gotten that from the movie?
Yeah. Well, I mean...
And it's,
he definitely
it's really,
was not
like,
a totalitarian.
You notice in the theater before we started that the presenter who was talking to the crowd, he's like, "Who's Team Cap?" And everyone's like, "Woo!" And it's like, "Who's Team Iron Man?" And like, no, but everyone's like, "Boo!" Yeah. Right? That is what the comics were like. Nobody was Team Iron Man.
Yeah.
Iron Man was like the crazy guy who, like, the people who were loyal to him because of, like, knowing him for all those years, and they felt like they had no other choice. But by the end of it, like, everybody was like, why are we doing... Tony, why are we doing this? Like, what is this? And he never had a good answer.
Yeah.
And a lot of people get hurt, and a lot of bad things happen because of that. And it's really hard, like... It was really hard to shake that feeling of, like, Tony's kind of a fucking dick for years. Mm-hmm. For years. That like, to me, kind of tainted that character until they completely, like, overhauled him when they did the first Iron Man movie.
Yeah.
Now that Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man and they're kind of, like, they're taking the character in the book to be more like RDJ, like, he kind of has this personality and this wit to him that, like, he was always, like, kind of there, but...
I would say it
makes you remember why he was cool in the first place.
From all of the Iron Man I have seen outside of the cinematic universe, Tony Stark's always kind of been, he's kind of been that character, but I think Robert Downey Jr. ran with it more so than in other verses, and so they actually took that backwards and, you know, made other, in the comics and cartoons, whatever, he appears to be more of a, you know, RDJ character.
Yeah, what it is he focuses the character more. Everyone has an actor that they can point to and say, like, okay, that's Iron Man. What would he do, you know? And before, you know, you get all these different writers working with these characters, and some of them have ideas of, like, oh, well, I think Tony Stark would be like this. I think Tony Stark would be like this. They all have a general idea, like, okay, he's kind of witty, he's kind of sarcastic, he's a genius, but he's an asshole about it. Like, and then they just run with that, and everyone has their own version, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But now that and this is something that's happened with all of these characters. Now they actually have, like, these real-world counterparts that people can look to and say, like, oh, no, that's Captain America. Oh, no, that's Iron Man, you know? Like,
that's my garage door closing, sorry.
Oh,
it's fine. Okay. I just heard a beeping. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Disregard that.
So that's one thing that I think this movie had over the books in, like
space. The actual conflict, I think, makes a whole lot more sense as to why they would be fighting each other and why they wouldn't want to hurt each other, because neither of them think the other ones are wrong to the point where, like, you need to be taken down. It's more of a, I disagree, please stop.
Yeah. Kind of a conflict.
Dude, this movie, like, the pacing of getting to that point where they start as friends, and that, or they remain friends, but, like, starting at the point where everyone's cool, and then slowly building to that point where they're getting to a point where it would be believable that they would all be coming to blows. Like,
well, it's pretty organic.
It's super organic, because it starts with at the beginning where they have...
It's a conversation at the beginning, where people are disagreeing on the topic.
But even before that, like... What sets it up is they're on a mission in, was that in Africa?
I don't know. Yeah, it was in Africa.
Yeah, they're
in
Africa.
It was in Nigeria. Nigeria.
Yeah, Nigeria.
It wasn't Nigeria. Was it
Nigeria? No, it's okay.
It was
in
Wakanda?
It wasn't. Wakanda was the city that showed at the end.
Diplomats from Wakanda were in Sokovia?
No, Nigeria. No.
Sokovia is the movie from Asia.
Yeah.
Or is the...
Whatever.
The point is,
country
from they're going on a mission, and they're... The guy from, what's the guy's name from, was it, his name was Crossbones? Is that what the character
Crossbones.
He's supposed to be? Mm-hmm. So Crossbones is there, and they end
from
up.
From Winter Soldier.
From Winter Soldier, and they end up trying to get this, like, this weapon back from this guy, and then in a split second decision that they make to try and stop him from detonating a bomb.
Well, that wasn't, it's not like none of them disagreed in that situation, it's just, you know, what's her
face?
Well,
no, but like, that Scarlet right there Witch. Was the trigger. Like, she makes a split-second decision to, like, try and stop this bomb by lifting it into the air, which ends up detonating and blowing up a half building.
To make a point, if she hadn't have done that, everyone on the ground right there would have died anyway.
Yeah, not to mention Cap.
So she chose to kill these people, or try and get it away and kill nobody, but in the process killed some diplomats. That was the thing that the people on that floor...
No, there wasn't. I don't think there was any diplomats.
When they were people from Wakanda... who are on a mission to try and, like, rebuild. That was the whole... That was Black Panther's dad. That was his spiel. That's what he was talking about, is that these people were over here doing good, and they got blown up in the... And they got caught in the crossfire.
Yeah.
They were on, like, a mission. They were, like, whatever.
But, like, that whole moment where... Like, regardless, they didn't make a bad decision, but they had... That was kind of like a wake-up call. They were like, holy shit...
Consequences.
We made a split-second decision that cost people lives. Like, maybe we could have done something different.
Yeah.
And that kind of split the team.
Well, I think the next scene almost, when Ross, is that his name? Ross comes in, the Secretary of State, and he's like, you're doing bad, you need to do good, blah, blah, blah. You know, register, blah, whatever. And they are having a conversation. It's very civil. It's literally like when we have an argument on a podcast. It's like a back and forth kind of, I disagree, blah, blah, blah. It starts out very small, and then it ramps up. And I really like the ramp in this movie.
Yeah.
That it starts just so kind of like, well, you know, you should think differently.
I mean, the initial disagreement is literally over whether they should sign some papers.
I mean, it seems like a very high-minded, just kind of like intellectual disagreement. But what gives this story its tension, what gives it its like driving motivation, is the fact that this was something that they did. This was something that was very close to home. They were talking about a decision that Scarlet Witch made on a mission.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was something that she did. This is their responsibility wholly. In the books... Very briefly, without getting too much into it, basically what happens is a group of like Q-listers, like just fucking nobodies, superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
They have they're called the New Warriors. They have a reality TV show where they go around the country like fighting crime, and they put it on TV, right? So these guys get it in their head that like, oh, they're superheroes, they can take on anything, and they decide they're gonna go after a bunch of people who are actually like really dangerous. Because for the ratings, of course, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they end up crashing the safe house of supervillains in Stamford, Connecticut. And one of the supervillains is a dude named Nitro, and his ability is that he just explodes. Like, he can just he's a bomb. He's
explosion
a,
man.
He's an explosion man. Yeah. They go in. They're not very well trained. They're not good at their jobs. They're followed by like a camera crew and shit, which like tips them off. The superheroes try to bolt. Prince Namor's niece actually is on the team, and she chases this dude Nitro down, and like they run across half the town, and she's chasing him. She finally like corners him, and he's like, you know, fuck you, like he's like, you don't know what the fuck
I'm
messing with
now.
And then he blows up. He does do that. He blows up, and then they pull back and they reveal that he's actually like, she pinned him up against the side of a school bus that was parked in front of an elementary school in the morning on the middle of a school day.
Mm-hmm.
He blows up and takes out like 8 city blocks. He kills everybody at the school. He kills a bunch of people around them. There was like 500 kids dead in this explosion.
And this is all recorded.
This is all like on TV. Everyone sees it. Like, or it's not like live or anything. But like everyone hears about it. Everyone sees it. It happens in the middle of the fucking day. Bunch of superheroes bungle an operation. A school, as well as like half this town, blows up, kills a bunch of people. That starts this huge national conversation about like, well, who are these superheroes anyway? Why are they running around? Registration, blah 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 blah, all that stuff, right? What gets Tony on the side of registration is because he actually starts anti-registration. He goes to Congress and testifies in front of them that like, oh, you can't make the Avengers register. That's ridiculous. Where are the Avengers? You know, he's basically saying everything Cap was saying. He goes to Stanford during the cleanup efforts and he sees it all with his eye. He sees everything. He ends up going to one of the mass funerals that they hold for the kids, and like one of the mothers of one of the children who dies like gets in his face, kind of like that lady
in the movie, yeah.
Right? But she's much more like hysterical, like crying, like, you, like, this is all your fault, blah, blah, blah. And that, like, that alone is what kind of like gives him his little change of heart. So it's not this. He spearheads this operation for S.H.I.E.L.D. of bringing in all the other superheroes, and there's nothing else going on. It is literally the whole story of the Civil War comic books is the pro-reg and the anti-reg. There's no other like big bad. There's nothing like. The only reason why Captain America is an outlaw is because he thinks, just kind of like logically in a high-minded way, that the superhero shouldn't register. It's not because he's like actually going after a goal like he is in the movie. It's not because there's actually a bad guy there's a lot of bad guys involved in Civil War, and some of them use the confusion to their own advantage, but there's not really this like huge threat like there is in the movie.
I think it's worded well when Cap's talking about it in the movie, that when you're registered, I guess, or when you sign this document and you now work for the United Nations, you're answering to someone who has their own agenda. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that person starts out cool, but maybe someone gets to them, maybe they change their mind, maybe they're not so good, and now you're working for people who maybe aren't the best. Whereas if you're not registered, you're working for yourself, right, and you're policing yourself, and right, you're this group of good guys who all hold each other accountable.
And in that situation, though, there are a lot of things where they can point back to the Avengers themselves, mm-hmm, and say, like, you guys had total autonomy, yeah, in New York. You guys had total autonomy in Sokovia. Mm-hmm. You guys had total autonomy. Like, you've had this for years, mm-hmm, and people keep dying. Yeah. Like, this is your fault.
Yeah, and honestly,
it's not like Captain America in the comics isn't really in that position. He's just like, it's basically just like taking a libertarian stance of like, oh, the government can't tell me what to do, you know.
But maybe if you pull back from that conflict to Captain America in the movie, like, even at a base level, he's like, what happens when you can see something that you could stop? And someone has the right to tell you
no.
Yeah. And he's like, just at my core, he's like, at my core level, I can't do that. Yeah. I know I can't sit by and let something like that happen when I know I can stop it. And that's what he is opposed to, I guess, in this movie. I think almost more, mm-hmm, than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of like the what I love about the movie, though, is it really slowly, methodically gets from point A to point B, mm-hmm, to the point where when you get to point B and they finally come to blows, it feels so deserved.
I think another good point, and this is something we had kind of talked about in regards to our distaste for Superman versus Batman, is the pacing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the movie starts out huge with all this stuff going on, then the dip of everything's calm and quiet, and then there's the explosion, mm-hmm, at the United Nations, and everything gets all crazy with Berlin, and everything's going on, and then they calm down again, and now they're under arrest, and everything's going on, and then there's the battle at the airport. It has perfect peaks and valleys of, like, just the pacing is so well done.
Those action scenes are just, like,
and every action ridiculous scene is so they're good.
Crazy.
Like, okay, I'll say this. Marvel really has a hard-on for stairwell fight scenes, don't they?
Dude, but they, yeah, it was
but
so
they're
cool,
all so good!
It?
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah,
though?
They're
like,
all so good.
Oh my god, Bucky and Cap, they were kicking so much ass.
When they were in Berlin? No,
when he tracks down
Bucky.
Yeah,
whenever,
yeah,
wherever he was.
Romania. Yeah, and the it was Germany, because those were Germany.
Sort of the B, I can't remember.
No, Vienna was where the explosion happened.
Vienna was United Nations. I said B, not V.
Berlin?
It wasn't Berlin, it was
no,
another
they
city.
Get taken to matter. Berlin after they get captured. It's in Romania.
It doesn't matter.
All right. Hey, here's. Can I pull back for just a second, mm-hmm, kind of beyond the scope of the movie,
mm-hmm,
and just ask a more general question?
Mm-hmm.
This is about the comic books.
Yeah.
Captain America at some point in the comic books dies.
He dies at the end of Civil War.
There's... And he's replaced by
Captain United
I'm gonna roll it back just a little bit. Okay. Basically, Civil War ends with like a big final confrontation between the pros and the antis, right?
Yeah.
Captain America is fucking like they fight this crazy battle. It is like it is kind of almost how like the Superman movie should have ended.
Yeah.
Where like they fight this giant battle and Cap finally gets Iron Man on the ground and he's just fucking like beating him over and over with the shield to the point where he like breaks his helmet off of his face and like Iron Man can't even talk anymore. Like his face is just fucked up and Cap is still like going at him, and then all of a sudden like a bunch of people like grab him and it's like a fucking firefighter and a cop and like a nurse. It's like a
It's a metaphor like for America.
Yeah, it's like America grabs him and stops him, and he's like, "What are you doing?" Like I'm fucking.
Can you stop seeing him?
He's like, "You." They're like, "You're destroying our city. Like you're destroying everything. Why are you doing this? Like why are you doing this to us, Captain America?" And he's like, "No, I'm fighting for freedom. Like this is my thing. This is what I do. I'm fighting for the American way." And they're like, "You're destroying everything." And he like stops and he looks around, and like the whole city's in rubble.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay. And he gives up. He gives up. They arrest him. They're going to take him to trial. God, I remember when this happened, too. I was like, so fucking crazy about this. In Captain America's own standalone book, they do a whole issue that's just about, like, him going to trial. He gets to the courthouse in New York City. He's in D.C. And he's going up the steps, and Crossbones shoots him down on the steps. Kills him. It turns out Crossbones was hired by Red Skull because Red Skull came back and da-da-da-da-da. All this other dumb shit that didn't really matter. But Captain America's dead. He's dead. And then the final word, that like this issue of Cap was like the prologue or like the epilogue to Civil War. The final page of that issue is one that like I don't think I'll ever forget. It's incredible. But it's basically on the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier. It's Cap's body laid out on a table, and Iron Man sitting in a room next to him holding his helmet, and he just says, "It wasn't worth it." Yeah. And it says, "The end." That's it. That's the end of it. That Cap died there, and he was dead for a
while. Dude, I didn't know the specifics of what happened in the comics, but I went into this movie kind of like, so I've heard rumors about like...
I thought for sure they were going to kill him. Yeah. I thought for sure they were going to kill him.
I thought there was
going to be in the comics, after Cap dies, they track down Bucky and they make him Captain America.
So
and he does his own Captain America thing for a while, and he's like a little different from Steve Rogers, but there's a lot there was actually a really good setup in this movie for them to make that transition in the future if and when they want to. In fact, in the current run of Marvel Comics, Captain America is Sam Wilson. Is Falcon. And he has his Falcon suit, but it's all like Captain America'd out, and he has the shield. There are three Captain Americas in that movie. They could have passed that off if they wanted to.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, if I remember correctly, there was some... I think back when Winter Soldier came out, there was some talk about Chris Evans only being contracted...
For, like, another movie.
But
the dude who plays Bucky has, like, six more pictures to go.
Yeah. And not to mention, like, the end of this movie, there's, like, two after-credits scenes, technically, and one of them involves them basically putting... the Winter Soldier back
into hibernation.
Like,
in Wakanda. Yeah.
In Wakanda.
So like Cap has gone back to the raft, which by the way is a real thing in the Marvel comics. It's a supervillain prison off the coast of New York. He goes back to the raft, he breaks out all of his team, and presumably they go to Wakanda to hide out.
Yeah. So presumably like they've put Bucky on ice for a while, but like I could see them unfreezing him down the road.
Definitely.
If Captain America dies in one of the upcoming movies,
no.
It just seems like if they were going to kill off Captain America, I feel like this was the movie to do it.
I kind of was expecting it. I think it would have been...
I wouldn't be surprised until they hold that off to Infinity War Part 1.
I mean, I think that probably has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to want people to know what happens after, you know, because since they're splitting up Infinity War.
That would be cool,
too. So I'm sure
Infinity War Part 1 was Steve Rogers. Infinity War 2 was Bucky.
It would have been a really cool way to end the movie. I think it would have been... It would have gone really poorly. Moving forward as far as, like, where that leaves some of the characters in the series, only because, like I said, this whole conflict was one that was, like... brewing with amongst them. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. This wasn't like an outside thing that happened, and they just happened to be the Avengers, so they were the ones that had to deal with it. You know? This was something they did. This was their fault. This was their problem, and they just disagreed about what they should do to fix it. If that ended with one of them getting the other one killed,
well, I think the other driving force was not only that it was an internal thing, which it definitely was. I don't think the conflict would have been as serious as it was if. I forget his name again. The Secretary of State,
Ross.
If he hadn't given him the timeline, like, look, you have 36 hours to do this, otherwise we're going in. Which is why they were kind of forced their hand. You know, they had to do this now, which means they couldn't just kind of, it's the ticking clock. So they had to, you know, do the airport fight scene. When I saw it coming, I was like, we've seen a bunch of this. Okay, here it goes. And then by the end of it, I was like, oh my god,
dude, it was incredible. Like, oh my god,
they promoted that fight so well.
All they promoted was them at the airport standing off, and then they showed the Spider-Man thing, and that's it.
They showed a couple other little shots, like they showed that really cool one of Ant-Man running up Iron Man's arm. Like, they showed just enough to be like, that looks amazing. Not to compare apples and oranges here, but it's like the exact opposite of like Batman Superman, where they showed you basically everything cool in the trailer.
Pretty much.
And then everything else, the other two hours and 20 minutes of that movie was just
kind of a snorkel.
Fucking garbage.
I mean, half that fight though, half of that fight was the dialogue that really made it.
Oh, God,
it.
Yeah, dude.
That's the banter that was going on.
That kid that they got to play Spider-Man is my favorite Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was incredible. Was that
Todd Howard?
No,
Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Todd Howard?
not the creator
dude,
of Fallout.
He looks
like Todd Howard.
He was
a little bit.
A scrawny, nasally nerd.
Hey, well, before that, let's go back to Queens.
We're talking about Spider-Man.
So how they introduced him. I thought that was fucking amazing.
With Aunt Milf?
Yes, Aunt Milf. Just, you know, all of a sudden he comes home, and we knew it was Spider-Man. Right. It was some kid in New York walking around with a DVD player, whatever. And then Tony Stark's just sitting in his living room. That's why I fucking, like, it frustrates me how good of an actor, or how, maybe he's just being himself, but Robert Downey Jr., how well he comes across as a person. Just that, like, when he was having that back and forth with Peter, and Aunt May doesn't know, and he's like, oh yeah, you got the scholarship, and he's like winking and stuff, and he's like nodding, and just like the whole kind of, like, he's like, oh,
that
oh,
grant
yeah.
you applied for.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. She's like putting the words in his mouth and stuff like that.
It's okay, so going into this movie, I was very excited for Captain America, because I like Captain America and Winter Soldier.
Definitely.
But for me, honestly, since the announcement that Spider-Man was going to be introduced, that was what I was waiting
for. I was so shocked that Fox allowed it, for one thing. Sony. Sorry.
Not only has Sony allowed
Sony
it.
Sony allowed it to... And I thought it was going to be just like a very small scene, like at the airport, and that was going to be it. That's what I didn't realize. And granted, he's not in. He's only in.
I mean, he really is.
His screen time is probably only, honestly, not 10 minutes, if even.
Yeah.
It's the apartment, and then it's the airport.
Yeah, but quite a bit.
They did so much in that time to just make him feel like... fucking Spider-Man.
And which kind of, like, this also, it kind of explains when we saw Spider-Man for the first time in the trailer, we were like, oh, how does he have like mechanical eyes? What is it? And then there was, Tony Stark has created a suit for Spider-Man before in the comics.
I have pictures of it. It's called the Iron Spider suit.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird. I'm glad they didn't try it.
I don't like how it looks. But anyway.
But it is really cool that they fought, like, in every other Spider-Man movie they've ever done, which has been a lot, like, the way Peter Parker gets his suit has never really been explained. Like,
he always just sews it.
Yeah, no regular person, even if they're like a computer genius or whatever, isn't going to sit there and put together a suit that looks that immaculate.
Yeah.
But if anybody in this universe has the resources to make a suit that advanced and that good,
mm-hmm.
it's fucking Tony Stark.
Well, I mean, so to get to that, I mean, Peter Parker is very intelligent. And, you know, it's kind of also, he uses some of his father's technology or whatever. But, I mean, in this one, essentially all he creates is his webbing and his web launchers. And then Tony is the one who creates him the suit. Anyway, I thought, even that scene, like, when he's, like, looking around his room and then just, like, pokes the fucking little attic hole and the suit falls down and stuff.
Like, but it's definitely like it's like red underoos with like the welder goggles on. Well,
yeah,
it is very like believable. Dude, I don't fucking care what anybody says. Those animated eyes on the suit
are awesome.
Like, it just makes it feel so much more like a comic book. Yes, like definitely. It's so awesome. Like, yes. Why is that so fucking hard to do?
I mean, like,
I'm sorry.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like there were moments when you saw his eyes adjusting and you could hear like.
Yeah, there's a sound. Yeah, there's like definitely a sound.
Which that just makes the whole thing
that was
better.
That was Cap surrender.
So anyway, like back to this airport fight. Like Chris was saying, the banter back and forth, which obviously also showed that they weren't that serious.
They like they were all kind of half looking out for each other at the same time.
And just like when it's at the before the fight even begins. Like for the trailer kind of gives off the feel that Spider-Man shows up halfway through the fight. Yeah. Tony's like, oh, I'm done. Come on, Underoos. But he shows up at the very beginning, steals Cap's shield, and he's like, oh, Captain. And he, like, saluting and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think...
Big fan.
I think little Todd Howard did a great job. I know it's Tom Holland. I'm just... Because I said it earlier. Little Todd is what I'm going to call him. I think he did a great job. And I think it was a great portrayal of Spider-Man being a kid in an adult situation and trying to act like an adult. He's trying to impress all of these people. And even when he's doing that back and forth between Captain, he's like, oh, Tony would told me you would say that. And he told me to go for the legs. And he's just this little guy who's just so excited to be playing with the big boys.
And that little quip between him and Captain America is like, you got heart, kid. Where are you from? And he's like, Brooklyn. And he's always
Queens.
Brooklyn.
That's like, such an amazing moment, too. Oh, yeah. My God. Like, okay, so do you remember in the movie... Sharon Carter, she's eulogizing Peggy Carter, and she says something about, like, when the world tells you you're wrong, like, that is a line from the actual comic book. It's this whole, like, monologue, and it's actually Captain America who says it, and he's saying it to Peter Parker right after Peter, like, betrays the ProReg and like goes anti-registration, and he shows up and he's like having such a hard time. He's like, "What? Like, everyone's telling you that you're wrong. Like the country's saying you're wrong. Iron Man's saying you're wrong. Everyone says you're wrong." And Cap, like, how do you do it? And Cap has this whole thing he says, and at the end of it, he says, "Your job is to plant yourself like a tree next to the river of truth and say no. You move like that." That is like one of the like. The fucking hallmark moments of the Civil War comic book.
And
they just, like, fucking squeeze it in there in the most perfect way. And they did it in a very, like, clever way where it's not just Captain America saying it to somebody. It's somebody else saying it about a completely different situation. And that is, like, the catalyst in Cap's mind that gets him...
It could be that's where maybe Cap got his idea for telling that to Peter. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
But I'm saying, like, Cap says it in the comics. In the movie, it gets said to him while he's still in the very beginning of this process, this registration, not registration, but this whole signing and joining the United Nations things has just begun, and it's kind of reinforcing him. It's like he's kind of still on the fence. Everyone, like a lot of his friends are going this way, and then he hears this, you know, this eulogy where it's like, you know, you stand your ground, like, and he's maybe about to give in, and then
this happens, and he's like, no, I can't.
Mm-hmm. All right, I have four things I want to bring up.
Okay.
Mainly characters.
Okay.
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 Vision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He looks sweaters. Like a geometry teacher.
Wearing sweaters.
Dude.
He's cooking with paprika.
After reading the Vision, like the current arc, like just seeing him walking around in like a sweater. Just...
Like those parallels, yeah. You have to wonder if they were.
So him walking around in a sweater is a comic book thing.
Well, here, let me. No, well, it is now. There is a solo series going on for the Vision right now. This is issue one. That's what the cover looks like.
I think it's less about him wearing from the comics, and it's more about trying to humanize something that's not human.
That's exactly what it is. And that's what I was getting at with the whole point of this current arc with Vision is it's him like trying to be a human being. It's him trying to be normal as possible and how completely like insane he is about trying to be normal.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like the first scene where you see him in this movie. He just walks through the wall into Wanda's room, and she's like, "What did I tell you?" He's like, "Well, the door was open," and and he's like,
"To him, that makes like perfect sense." Yeah, but it's like, you just walked through the fucking wall, dude. Like, it's so like unnerving, even like such a primal level. But like him trying to grapple with like social constructs of like humanity and like trying to be normal, like that's what a lot of this was.
You know what I was a little worried about? that at first. I thought they were slowly trying to hint at like he was developing feelings for Wanda or something.
That's what I was getting at. Okay. Oh, another sorry. Crazy thing. They're not gonna develop this probably as well as they should because they don't own the X-Men.
Yeah.
For the movies. But in the comics, Wanda and Vision, like, are a thing. Hmm. And they, like, they fall madly in love with each other, and Wanda starts going crazy. Like, Wanda's powers start driving her crazy. And the
crazier she gets,
yeah,
okay.
The crazier she gets, the more powerful her powers become. And she, and then Vision dies at one point, and she just loses it. And she can't handle it anymore, and she ends up running away, and they find her, and she's, like, living in this fucking, like, dream that she made for herself. Like, they find her, and, like, these little kids run up, and they're like, oh, you here to see mommy? And they, like, go, and they're like they go and find Wanda, and they're talking to her, and they're like, make them go away. Those kids aren't real. So she just, like, pulls down everything, and she's, like, living in the ruins of this this nation called Genosha, which it's an X-Men thing.
Yeah, that's
just look it up.
That's a whole
A whole other thing. And them trying to, like, come for her and, like, take her in causes her to do this thing that it sparks this event called House of M, which is an incredible X-Men story. It's all about Wanda basically recreating reality so that everyone in the world.
So that was about to get weird.
It was about to get weird. It is, and okay. It should, and that is like it's basically like the two most not normal people in the Avengers, yeah. Like the two.
Well, that's
like,
they talk about that in this movie, and that everyone fears her,
yeah.
Because of her powers, and she can't always control them. Usually, yeah. She can, but whatever. And everyone fears him because he's not a fucking person, and yeah. He can walk through walls.
And not only that, he's powered by an Infinity Gem, like. Yeah. Like he is something that nobody understands.
Well,
he doesn't even understand.
Currently, in the movie, they don't understand extent of that power, and
nobody
all,
really does. Yeah, those things are like primal forces of creation.
All right, so moving down my list.
Okay.
After Vision, Hawkeye.
Dude, I love Hawkeye in the movies. I think that Jeremy Renner's doing a fantastic job with him. The only thing that really saddens me about Hawkeye is that I don't think they're ever going to do him like they do in the comics.
He's always going to be a supporting character.
He's always going to be. Yeah. He's in the same. He's in the same league as
like
Black
I would
Widow.
Black at this Widow, point. Yeah. I would watch
and War Machine for that matter.
I would watch a standalone Hawkeye movie.
I would say if you really would want to watch a standalone Hawkeye movie, please, 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 not even for me, not for anybody else. Do yourself a favor. Read Hawkeye. Like, read the Hawkeye book. My Life is a Weapon. Like, for, like, 36 issues, that book is incredible. And it's all Hawkeye. It's funny as shit. It is cool as hell. It is everything that is wonderful about, like 70s action movies, about, like kind of Pulp Fiction action. It is really smartly written. It's incredible. It's done by this guy named Matt Fraction, who's one of my favorite writers in comics ever. He's incredible. If you think that you want to see a Hawkeye movie,
sure.
Read that fucking book. It's incredible. And then you'll understand why, like, seeing him relegated to such a background role all the time is, like, really frustrating.
But every time
he
comes on screen, it's awesome.
Oh, it is incredible.
I rewatched Age of Ultron last weekend, mm-hmm. And I hadn't seen that since I saw it in theaters. So, like, I didn't really like Age of Ultron when I first saw it in theaters. Second viewing, I liked it way more.
Mm-hmm.
But, like...
No, I definitely like that movie.
I realized my favorite, like, one of my favorite lines in the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe comes from Hawkeye in Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
When he's talking to Wanda, and he says, whatever you gotta do, do it. When you walk out that door, you're an Avenger.
Avenger.
And
yeah.
I was like, oh my god. That gave me chills when
yeah.
I heard it.
Yeah, we're in a flying city. I'm fighting robots, and I have a bow and arrow.
Yeah. None of this makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, it's so good.
It's so good.
And I think it's one of those situations where maybe the heads of, you know, Marvel, of, you know, Disney, whatever, don't think he can carry his own, or they aren't ready to give him his own thing.
Sure.
But they don't want to push him aside because they can see how well he does every time he's on screen.
You know, movies, I get it. Like, you really just don't have the same real estate that you do with comics.
Yeah.
You can't, like, not everybody gets a fucking 12-issue
mm-hmm.
arc.
But
not
the same
everybody
time,
gets their own.
Like, how much, I was surprised at how much War Machine we saw in this.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think...
Well, they had to set him up for what happens.
Yeah,
to
I know.
Him, so.
There's a lot, that's something, we'll put a pin in that and come back to it. But one, Nick, for you, as a fan of Arrow, mm-hmm. I just want you to know that Clint in the Avengers movies is much more what Green Arrow.
Oh, definitely.
In Justice League. Definitely. That is why I had such a hard time with Arrow forever. Because I'm expecting something like that, and I'm getting something that's like a cheap Batman ripoff with a bow and arrow. You know, it's really weird. But just to give you some perspective.
Sure.
You guys want to talk about War Machine?
Not right now.
Or what's
I have two more on my list. Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, T'Challa, he's fucking crazy.
Dude.
He's a member of the Illuminati in the Marvel comic books.
Really?
There's a group of superheroes in the Marvel comic books. It's a secret group that nobody knows about called the Illuminati, and it's made up of T'Challa, I wonder if he was always or if he was a legend. Okay. T'Challa, I think, was part of it. Namor, Prince Namor, Iron Man, Mr. Fantastic, Charles Xavier, Doctor Strange.
Those are some big names.
Those are all like the most important like leaders of basically
the different
superhero kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they play very heavily into the backstory of the Infinity Gauntlet and Thanos. Like they all learn about this Infinity Gauntlet shit and they try to basically like kind of take it and use it and they end up fucking shit up hard.
All right.
And it would be really cool if they could integrate that into the MCU, but they can't because they don't have
any of it. So Chadwick did a great job in the movie.
The actor's name?
Yes.
Yeah. He did a great job. I think the way they introduced him was really, really well done. The way they built up to it. And we'd only seen him on screen for like 5 or 6 minutes
mm-hmm.
before, like collectively. And then all of a sudden,
he's Black Panther.
You see him in the suit and you're just like, oh shit. And like that background story of like his father was...
But that's the thing, is we didn't need 10 minutes of... We didn't need a flashback to him as a kid.
You didn't need half a movie.
Yeah. All we needed was,
he loves his father. His father died, and now he wants to kill the guy who killed his father.
Motivation.
And he was such a beautiful rogue element in that movie, too. He wasn't really on anyone's side, he was on his side.
But he will become an Avenger, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You're like, well, how did he get this suit? And they explain it very nicely when they're in the car, and he's like, oh, well, in my tribe, blah, 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 we have the Black Panther's been around, he's been passed down, and now I'm Black Panther.
And okay, well, there you go. All right, cool.
And we're the nation on Earth where you can only find vibranium.
Exactly. So, that's why his suit is so powerful, because that's where all of it is from.
That's why Wakanda looks like it's out of a fucking sci-fi novel. Like, at the very end, you get a sense of that.
Like, I saw this kind of coming, but man, I'm fucking pumped for the Black Panther
movie. Dude, it's going to be great. I'm convinced now that he can make an interesting movie on his own. Dude, I'm so excited for everything coming out of Marvel now. Like... Mm-hmm. Not that I wasn't before, but, like, it's, like, this, maybe I'm just really high on it right now, but, like, I do kind of feel like this is my favorite MCU movie
so far.
This one was incredible.
It definitely is mine, I think, at this point. Because before I saw this, my favorite was Winter Soldier, and
it's
now...
It's amazing what people, like, the kind of movies that people who actually like comic books can make.
Yeah.
It
definitely shows. It definitely there is soul to these movies that it was just completely missing out of Batman vs Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Last one I wanted to mention was Ant-Man.
I have never seen Ant-Man
the movie.
Did you not see the movie?
No.
Okay, a lot of people hate that movie. It is definitely one of the most divisive movies in the MCU.
I will say it's not the best.
It really is never gonna stand up to something.
But I remember it getting really solid reviews.
No, let me talk. Anyway,
okay.
It's never gonna stand up to something like the first Avengers, the first Iron Man. It's never gonna be Winter Soldier, but it has this like quirkiness to it. It's definitely one of the funnier movies in the MCU.
And that's mainly due to Paul Rudd is such a hilarious actor.
There are some real problems with the story in that movie, involving like Janet and like why is Scott Lang even Ant-Man to begin with when it could have just been Janet. Like, the story isn't like stellar.
Yeah.
But the character and like the action that they put him through in that movie is really, really cool. He's actually like this really kind of powerful character. But he has, his powers aren't like just straightforward. They're not like he's super strong. He can like shoot beams out of his eyes. He's got like these really straightforward badass powers. He's got a really fucking weird set of powers.
Yeah.
And when you tell somebody like, oh yeah, he can get really small and sometimes he gets really big, it's like, oh, that sounds kind of lame. It's lame if you have no fucking imagination. Like when you actually start like messing with those ideas and messing with those concepts, it gets really fucking cool. There's a part like at the end of the movie where he I was fucking weeping only because I know I'm never gonna fucking see anything like this from the DC side. They're never gonna make an Atom movie, and they're never gonna deal with the subatomic universe or anything in the DC Marvel or the DC universe. And if they do, it's probably gonna be fucking dog shit at this point. God, I'm so anyway. But like he it, to save the day, like Ant-Man has to go subatomic, and he ends up shrinking and like infinitely shrinking forever and ever and ever, and it's this really like trippy like psychedelic thing where he's going into like universes, like within universes in like the subatomic level, and it's fucking crazy and it's so badass. That movie is far from perfect, but it has this soul, it has this like quirky little spark to it that makes it one of my favorites. And Paul Rudd, I love Paul Rudd. He doesn't really, you would expect someone like him to really like phone it in.
Oh, no.
But he doesn't. He actually turns out.
I'll be honest. He was of that airport fight. I think he was one of my favorite elements of it.
God, the first when time he picks up Cap's shield and he's like, "I think this belongs to you, Captain America." Like it's a fucking comic, like a cheesy like 60s Avengers comic. I was beside myself.
The scene when you're introduced to him in this movie, when he's like, "Oh, sorry, I'm shaking your hand too long." He's like, "You Captain America."
They just pull him out of a van and they're like, "All right, you're with us." And he's like, "Oh my god."
He's looking at Scarlet Witch. He's like, "Oh, I know you too. You're great." Like he's just like he's just so flabbergasted to be around. He's essentially the Spider-Man of Cap's team.
No, yeah, they both have this like quirky bug themed comic hero. But the thing that he references with Falcon is in the Ant-Man movie. There's a part where he has to break into the Avengers compound, and he ends up fighting Falcon, and that fight alone is like really badass because it shows like how effective his whole like shrinking and growing on command thing can really be in a fight. And he ends up like crawling around inside his jetpack and like ripping shit out like he did to Iron Man in this movie,
which was my favorite part.
Yeah, which was so good.
I'm like, conscious.
Yeah, you're gonna have to take this to the shop.
He's like. What is that voice? I'm your conscience. We haven't spoken in a while.
it's so funny.
And like, I didn't see him growing coming. Like, I didn't. Like,
the only reason why I knew about that is because Pop Vinyl put out a Giant Man figure. That's one of their large ones, and I was like, oh my god, he's going Giant Man.
And that was because I didn't see it coming. And then he was running along. And he's like, I'm gonna try something I've only tried in the lab. And I'm like, well,
no. He's like, I do it all the time. Well, I've done it once in a lab. And I passed out.
Oh my god, when he gets giant and he's just fucking shit up.
And he grabs the war machine and he's like, oh! And he's freaking out because it's so awesome. Dude, I was like, I wish you guys could have seen me. I was just like...
No, I saw.
I was beside myself. It was an incredible moment.
My favorite moment, though, after he becomes giant is Iron Man's reaction, where he's like, all right, does anybody here have a slightly power? Shocking, like, secret power they haven't told me about? Because that really helped right now.
It's so good.
Fucking incredible.
Dude, that bit where he throws the truck and he throws his little shrink disc.
He's like, just throw this at it.
Dude, I swear to God, like, I've thought of that before. I've been like, wouldn't it be really cool if there was a shrinking superhero, but they could like project their power instead of it just affecting them? And then like, how cool that would be to like shrink a truck and just like chuck it at somebody and then grow it while it's flying in midair. And then they fucking did it. And I'm like, god damn it, I wish I'd written that down. Like,
I love it. I love that moment where he's like, oh god, I thought that was a water truck.
It blows up. Yeah. I like how there's a lot of like whiz bang and destruction in this movie, but they still like keep everybody grounded. And they're like, oh, these guys are heroes. Like in the stairwell fight, like Cap's going out of his way to like catch those German police to make sure they don't die.
Yeah.
If this had been fucking Zack Snyder, he would have been like putting them against the wall and executing them with a gun.
And the best part about that is it's
I'm
still
walk away for a second.
Okay. It's still Bucky Bucky is still not 100% there. He doesn't know what's going on. He just knows people are after him. And he's like, well, fuck them. They're after him. I'm going to, whatever. I don't care what happens. And Cap's like, wait, no, hold on. And he keeps giving Bucky these looks.
He's like, come on, man.
Like, yeah. He's like, come on. Like, you're making this hard on me.
I mean, yeah. Bucky is working off of 70 years of instincts. So.
And you know, Cap is Cap. He's not going to let people just die like that, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, there are people who definitely died in this
one. Yeah.
Definitely. Sam Wilson definitely shot two guys and killed them. But, like, there's just something about the way they do it in these movies that makes it... They cut away and they kind of make it, it doesn't, okay, maybe they survive, but
you don't care.
Like it's not just fucking, like, blood. Gore, like, you don't get a sense that, like...
People's heads aren't getting chopped off.
They're just fucking leering at the blood. Like, I can see Zack Snyder, like, making Batman kill people and just going like, yeah, yes, yes, this is my Batman, yes, look what I've created. Like, fuck that guy! Oh my god, okay. I'm sorry, we can't talk about Zack Snyder.
All right.
It's a raw subject.
All right, let's funnel it in, because we need to talk about the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Which it all comes to a head.
Oh my god, I was crying. I was crying when Batman.
I was crying
at the end of Batman Superman 2
because it was so
completely,
bad.
Completely
was
different.
So bad.
But Chris, he becomes Batman.
But when Cap and Iron Man are like fighting and it just gets like fucking like really personal and brutal. Like it was so emotional. And for fuck's sake, they make Baron fucking Zemo like kind of relatable for a minute there. They're like, oh my god,
the bad guy who did everything, the reason he did that, that's a super villain.
They took the name of a character.
Oh, I thought they made him.
Yeah, I thought
entirely.
I didn't know what they.
Zemo was like a Nazi super scientist who fought Captain America back in WW2. And
I thought I could have sworn that actor was in one of the other Marvel movies.
He's in
a lot of stuff. He's not in Marvel though.
He's in something.
He was in that race movie with Chris Hemsworth, who's Thor.
No, but
anyways, hold on. Like that's something that. I didn't know where that conflict was going to come from at the end, because I had seen it in the trailers.
Oh my God,
and all of a sudden, Tony's like, you know, I'm sorry, Cap. I was wrong. You were right. Let me come help. And they get there, and like, wait. And all the super soldiers are dead. And I'm like, well, what's going to happen then? And then that video feed pops up, and that's when it hit me. I was like, oh,
yeah,
shit.
The whole thing, like, you think, oh, Zemo's just trying to steal a squad of super soldiers and take over the world. It's like, okay, that's a little boring, but, like, it's comic books, that's what they do, sure. But no, it's like, no, this whole thing was set up just to get these two characters to turn on each other.
He said it in multiple points throughout the movie. He said he wanted to bring down an empire.
Yeah.
And nobody really stopped to think maybe
he means, like, America.
But no one stopped to think, oh, the empire he's referring to
is
the
Avengers.
And he wants them to come to blows so they can basically kill each other and destroy themselves from the inside
out.
Reveal that mission that
they showed Bucky doing in 91 at the very beginning of the movie was actually him assassinating Howard Stark.
Yeah.
Like, and they have a video of him killing Tony Stark's parents, and that's like what sparks that final, like, oh my god. Yeah, I was about to lose it there. It was.
While I'm thinking about Howard Stark and whatnot, how about that fucking CG at the beginning?
Holy shit, with the young Robert Downey
Jr.
Yeah.
Holy shit, right? Like, me and Brad were talking about it. We're like, this is the kind of CG that can start wars. Like, that looked real.
I mean, when they brought him close to
the
camera,
I'm trying to figure
still?
Out what like how much of it was like a haircut and makeup. And
it was
how much of it was actually
it,
like...
It was most likely what they did was they took his face and CG'd it on a smaller person's body, like in Social Network.
He looked
like
18.
Like in Captain America 1.
Oh, that too.
Yeah,
they
looked weird.
It did look a little
weird.
They did that.
Much older CG technology, though.
But, I mean, they also have a lot of reference when it comes to Robert Downey Jr. when he was younger. I mean, he's definitely an actor, so there's lots of... So it looked like him when he was younger.
Like, yeah.
But it looked good.
That was so good. By the way, did you guys catch that during the final fight? Like, that really emotional fight at the end?
Yeah.
Like, Iron Man beats Cap down, and Cap, like, he's like, stay down. Like, just fucking stay down, Cap. And he gets back up, and he puts his dukes up. And he's like, I can do this all day.
That's from the first Cap.
Like when they show him as a scrawny kid getting beat up in the fucking alley. Like,
and
that was such a brilliant callback. That's a callback like 6 years in the making. It's so good.
That was quite good. And man, I was certain like this movie was going to end with them finding some common ground and coming together.
Being cool, yeah.
And like I was like, they're making another Avengers movie. They can't be splintered. well, yeah. before another Avengers movie, but now you get they are fucking splintered.
Well, they're splintered, but like they left it in a really good place, and I don't know if it's good because it served the story the best, or if it's good just because it makes us all feel good, you know. But like Cap takes his group and they run off, and they're basically the Secret Avengers now.
Yeah,
and they're outlaws and they're hiding out in Wakanda. But he sends Tony Stark a burner phone and is like, "Hey, if anything big does happen, we will come. Like you just have to call us."
Yeah.
Like, there's still that trust there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's, after there, all that.
There's five movies that are coming out before Avengers Infinity War Part 1, whatever it's going to eventually be retitled.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
There's plenty of time for them to rebuild the team. And
those movies are Black Panther, Doctor Strange.
There's plenty
Doctor
of time
Strange.
For Tony Stark to head into space and pal around with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
Which happened, by the way. Yep. He was running around with the Guardians for a while. And he had this black and gold suit. It looked kind of cool.
Man. That Guardians of the Galaxy movie is coming, huh?
And that's something that
Russell.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Uh-huh. I am so happy to be alive. Because if you look back to like the, you know, like 70s, 80s, while this stuff did exist, it was not the best. And I know there's a lot of people, Crispy, who kind of, I don't want to say poo-poo the mainstream of comics, but there are a lot of people now who weren't fans of comics back in the day, who are now like, but I'm like, that's fine. If these are getting attention, and that gives them the ability to make all of these movies, I mean, and it's not
it's,
like...
It's great that they're finally doing well, and it's like, you know, like old comic book movies...
Are so bad.
Which the ones that were good, though,
yeah.
were good despite the source material.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, how can we make Batman not seem that comic booky?
Yeah.
You know, like, you look at something like The Dark Knight, probably one of the most popular comic book movies ever.
Definitely.
One of the most well-performing ones. That is so not a comic book movie.
No,
it is very much grounded. Yeah, it is such a, like, it's almost like just ashamed of its source
material. Yeah, right? It wants to take as little from the source material as it can, make it seem realistic when you don't, and I will say, it does it well,
those are incredible movies, but that's never going to be the standard model Batman, you know? That's neither here nor there, that whatever, but... It's so weird. Like, I do kind of feel like I'm living, like, a monkey's paw wish.
Yeah.
Basically. Where it's like, hey, listen, we will, like, there will be good comic book movies. There will be good superhero movies that feel like the comic books. Like, there will be good movies, but they're all going to be Marvel. And DC movies are going to suck. Would you rather have that, or would you rather live in a world where all comic book movies are just, like, meh to suck?
Yeah.
Like, that's such a monkey's paw for me. I mean, I love Marvel enough that, like, I'm completely happy with this.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the thing.
The fact that there's no competition, though, is really sad. And the people who want to play into the fanboy wars are really just like, they don't realize what they're missing out. Think about how amazing this world would be if Marvel and DC were both putting out fantastic movies, and it was just like, who's gonna top themselves? Like, who's gonna top the next one? Like fucking Captain America puts Civil War out, and everyone's like, that movie was incredible. What's DC gonna do? And then DC puts out a fucking Justice League movie that's like, that was amazing. Like, and then Marvel feels the need to up the ante. Like, right now, Marvel is just fucking running it up.
Yeah.
They are just running it up, and they have nobody really to challenge.
They're like, Marvel's running a race that DC doesn't know about. Right now. That's what's going on.
That DC doesn't understand.
Yeah.
Like, they're tripping over themselves trying to catch up, but they don't get why.
DC's been lapped.
Like,
dude, more than
it's like, let's not play into like the whole, oh, all the DC movies are gonna suck. Okay.
Oh, no,
I just said that.
Not the case.
I think I am really excited about Suicide Squad.
Looks,
yeah.
Okay,
the more I see about it, the more I'm fucking excited for it. I don't give a shit. You know what? I will fucking fight you. I don't care. I'm excited to see Jared Leto play the Joker.
Yeah, me too.
I think one of the best comparisons I saw online was like how everybody, like all the actors who've played the Joker have done like a different drug, you know? Like Jack Nicholson was the cocaine Joker, fucking Heath Ledger was the heroin Joker, and now like Jared
meth,
and now yeah, he's the crystal meth Joker who's just like fucking like up to 11 crazy bullshit, like just ridiculousness. I think they could get something good out of it. I hope they do.
I mean, honestly, most of the characters they've shown in those trailers, like, and just, you know, like the tone of the trailers, the marketing for the movie, has been really good. I'm actually really excited to see.
You know what's funny?
I want to see the Coyote joke.
If you go back and watch the Suicide Squad trailer, the one with the Batmobile in it, actually the two with the Batmobile in it, it doesn't have guns on the front of it. They took the guns off because who put guns on the front of the Batmobile like that? I mean, not that I'm not saying that the Batmobile's never had guns on it before. You know, I even liked Arkham Knight, and that Batmobile turned into a fucking tank. Okay, but the fact that they were like front and center on the car, they're like the main draw, the main feature, is just indicative of the mentality around the design of that character. It's so fucking sick, and it's gross, and I hate Zack Snyder. I really wish he would just retire and go live a quiet, normal life in the mountains and never be heard from again.
So I'm getting more and more excited for Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
Getting really excited for Jared Leto as the Joker. Mm-hmm. Dude, Dr. I don't care. Strange. I think Harley Quinn looks great. I mean, maybe not like canon necessarily, or like super close to the source material, but like her personality, just like. I've seen so far, it's just a joy. Like it's super good. I mean, Killer Croc looks crazy. Like I don't know what they're gonna really do with him. That's gonna mean anything. But like the only one I'm kind of on the fence about, really, they're trying to is Deadshot. Like Will Smith.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like a villain. He doesn't sound like a villain.
I mean,
we're going on tangents here. I don't want to talk too much about
that. That was like what they've done with Will Smith is what. Is really what Marvel has been doing with a lot of characters too, where it's like you take a character that nobody really knows, nobody really cares how they're portrayed, and you take a big face who people already like. You know, well, I mean, Will Smith maybe isn't as widely appealed anymore as like say Chris Evans is, but you can slap somebody that people are already familiar with in that role, and then all of a sudden, Deadshot is Will Smith. If you like Will Smith, then you like Deadshot.
Mm-hmm.
You know that? I mean, that's something that's been going on a lot, and I don't think there's anything really wrong with that. I think Will Smith's kind of a weird choice, but I'm not decrying it until I see it. Like I will give it a shot.
Well, Deadshot. We'll definitely do a popcorn cast
about
Suicide Squad when that comes up.
That was a pun.
Got it.
Yeah, we got it.
Thanks, Chris.
We got it.
Thanks. All right. Any closing remarks on Captain America: Civil War?
Dude, go see it. Go see it again.
Well, I would hope if you're listening to this and you've gone this far that you've seen
it. Go see it again.
I have tickets for Saturday. Tickets for Saturday.
Do you really?
Yeah. Me and Bernadette are going to see it.
All right. I almost forgot to mention how excited I am. After all this, like, I'm so excited for, like, all the Doctor Strange looks great. Yeah. Fucking Black Panther I'm really excited about now. The Guardians Spider-Man of the Galaxy Homecoming. Is great. Spider-Man Homecoming is officially at the top of my radar now.
Damn, because right?
Fucking Tom Holland looks great.
You know what I hope happened? What I hope happened was Sony was like, look, Marvel, we're going to give you Spider-Man. You want to give us some tips? That's what I hope happened. I hope that they sent them a draft of a Spider-Man Homecoming. They're like, maybe put a few notes in here.
Can we get some of that money?
Yeah.
Give them money.
You share the fucking wealth.
You know what this really means? Fucking Marvel has Spider-Man.
Now, I bet you RDJ shows up in Spider-Man.
Dude, I know they're pretty much confirmed.
Oh, no, he
does.
He is already confirmed.
Oh, really?
He said there's no contract yet, but they have talked to him.
Okay.
Which, it's coming.
Yeah. It'll happen.
You know what I want? I want fucking Spider-Man to show up in Deadpool.
Oh,
or vice versa.
That would be cool. And you know why that would also work? And I was reading a review about Deadpool the other day, and this guy made some really good points that I actually agree with that I didn't think about at the time. But you know why Deadpool works as well as it does? Because he's not in it that much. Deadpool is not really a leading character.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to force it, it's not going to work. That's why most of the movie is Ryan Reynolds as Wade Wilson before he becomes Deadpool.
Correct.
And Deadpool's there. He knows that he can't outstay his welcome. Deadpool, if they get him in somebody else's movie, him to show up like in a Spider-Man movie, that would be absolute nirvana. Yeah. That would be the best possible solution.
Because didn't they have a run of issues where they were just buddied?
That's been a thing for a long time.
Yeah, Deadpool always shows
Deadpool.
Up.
Yeah,
Deadpool makes fun of him because he thinks that at first he thinks that Spider-Man's a fan of his. He thinks that Spider-Man patterned his costume off of him. And then there's so many wonderful
Spider-Man. I just saw it recently, and it's a thing where Spider-Man and Deadpool are like wrapped up in Spider-Man's web.
Oh yeah.
And they're trying to get out, and he's like, stop wiggling. Things are getting hard down there.
Yeah. Like, he's like getting an erection.
Yeah.
He's like, what is wrong with you?
Oh man, I had something I was gonna say. Just real quick, I don't want to go on a Spider-Man tangent, but like seeing what they managed to do with Spider-Man in like a 15-minute period in this movie has me thinking about like I've always really loved Spider-Man. I just feel like it's been a really rocky road movie wise.
You want bold sweeping statement? Here it is. I'm putting my fist down. Bold sweeping statement, here it comes. The 10 to 15 minutes that Spider-Man is in that movie are the best 10 to 15 minutes of any Spider-Man anything ever in film. Better than the Sam Raimi movies, better than the Andrew Garfield movies.
So far.
Yes.
Okay. You know anything, what I'm going to say to that, Crispy? 100% guarantee. 100% agree with you. And that's something I wanted to bring. I kind of brought it up a little bit. I think when you were in the bathroom or something. Best Spider-Man.
I mean, if you want to argue that Spider-Man 1 and 2 are great movies, like, I mean, I think they're good movies. I don't think they're great movies. I think what they showed us, the little taste they showed us in here already far surpasses anything Sam Raimi did. Or whoever did those other movies, especially like the fucking Electro movie. That was gross.
But the first Amazing Spider-Man, the first one with Andrew Garfield.
The first Amazing Spider-Man was pretty good. I really liked it. It was pretty good. It was good.
But what I was going to say.
But this is already like 10 times better.
Yes. But what I was going to say, and you know what? A lot of that comes down to just like, you know, I thought Andrew Garfield was a really good pick, but it wasn't until I saw
little
Tom Holland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because.
When he comes on screen, you're like, oh, that's Peter Parker.
Yeah, no. And like the problem is like Peter Parker historically has always supposed to have been like a young high school nerd, right? Who's not very popular, right?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of it was
and early.
Dude, in the 60s they used to draw him with a sweater vest and glasses. So yes.
Try to show me a world where Andrew Garfield wasn't popular in high school.
Dude, that...
Yeah.
You take
one look at him, and you look at the way he carries himself, that kid was fucking popular
in high
school.
He's such a, like, James Dean pretty boy, and, like, he was witty and stuff, but, like, you're right, he was a little too high.
Like, I like the version that he did of him, but, like...
But, oh my god, even Spider-Man, like, even him, like, swinging around and, like, quipping and cracking wise, like, that was the best version of that we've ever seen.
Because that's what Spider-Man's always been. He's always been, like, a more tame Deadpool.
They finally did it.
He's always constantly making like little quips and little like kind of haha corny jokes at people.
Doing
and stuff like
he doesn't shut up. People talk about that in the comics about how Spider-Man doesn't shut up while he's fighting.
Like, when he grabs Winter Soldier's hand,
he's
like,
"Oh, that's a cool arm.
Oh, man, you got a metal arm."
And then like when he's fighting Falcon, he's like, "Are those wings titanium?" And he's like, just constantly talking to him. He's just a curious little kid. Like, dude, it's so good.
But sorry, I'm still trying to get to what I was trying to say.
I'm sorry.
Like, seeing what Marvel was able to do with Spider-Man in that short amount of time has me really, really fucking excited to see what they do with the villains. Because Spider-Man, in my opinion, has always had one of the best rogues galleries in comics. Mm-hmm. Of what I'm familiar with, comic-wise.
He does have a good...
And it's been really rocky with the villains in those movies, too. Like, there's never... I can't really think... Actually, looking back in the five Spider-Man movies, they kind of messed up all of them. All of the villains.
Yeah.
They never really nailed one. They never did.
There was never a quintessential like.
I think Doc Connors.
Doc Connors was probably the best.
That was a pretty good one. I would definitely put that one up there. Doc Octopus, I wasn't like he looks cool, but like I don't know. There was something off about it, and I can't really put my finger on it.
Mm-hmm.
Willem Dafoe, I fucking love Willem Dafoe. He's a great actor, but he's too Willem Dafoe to be somebody like Green Goblin.
And not to mention...
He's too... It's like casting a character actor to play the Joker, you know?
But
it's
also...
Like you can't just say, like, oh, you're a funny guy, you be the Joker.
But also, 90% of the problem with the Green Goblin movie was not the fact that it was Willem Dafoe. It was the fact that his fucking costume was like Power Rangers.
Again, it's the fact that they're ashamed that he's a comic book character.
Yeah, they're trying to make it more realistic.
Like, to edge it up a little bit, right?
Where's the, like, the rubber mask? Like, stuff like that. Like, and that is something I wanted to mention. That's probably one of my biggest flaws with this movie.
Where's the pumpkin bombs, for fuck's sake?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Not like, oh, he has orange grenades.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
One of my biggest problems with this movie was the whole fucking, like, just kind of write-off of, oh, they found the real doctor's dead body and a Bucky Barnes mask. Like, that was just like, okay.
If you watch, I watched Winter Soldier last night.
Uh-huh.
There is a scene where Black Widow impersonates a...
No, I know. That weird mask.
No, but that's not even, like...
They didn't say it was a synthetic mask.
They were like wigs and makeup.
Wigs and makeup. Like, they were like, and it's just that kind of like little write off. Like, oh, by the way, we think he was framed. Okay, and
it was
just
kind of like
that's a pretty small.
It was a Mission Impossible. Shit.
Well, like, and look how hard I'm having to grasp at something wrong with this movie.
Yeah.
Dude, I was really kind of like, by the time we got to the end of it, I was thinking like, this has been great. I think Zemo's plan is really convoluted, and I don't know if it makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel a little better about it, like, at the end of the movie. I guess the big leap in faith there is knowing that getting Bucky, like, framed would have drawn Captain America out.
Yeah.
Which I don't really know how he knew that.
Well, there's a lot of, like, this just happened. Like, how did he know that, you know, Bucky and Cap were going to chase him? Okay, well, whatever, they chase him. But yeah. How did he know that Iron Man was going to learn the truth and come after them and be there at the same time?
The whole thing pivoted on him knowing that getting the whole world, like, going after Bucky would have put Captain America at odds with Iron Man. And then knowing that Iron Man learning the truth about Bucky killing his parents would have put the two of them and like Captain America and Iron Man in direct conflict with one another. Like I feel like that's such a weird, like kind of messy situation that you can't really predict how that would have gone.
Yeah.
But that's the one part of the movie that's really just like, I don't know if that really makes a whole lot of sense.
But crispy.
But
how about that fight scene?
But how about that fucking fight scene? Oh my god, when they're passing the shield back and forth and beating the fuck out of Iron Man, that was crazy.
I kind of wish they didn't put that in the trailer.
Yeah, that was cool. They did kind of spoil it, but
a little bit of the fight, yeah.
Oh my god, but there's so many good fight scenes in that movie.
There's so many
good fight scenes.
Yeah, just the fucking quip from Spider-Man. He's like, that shield just does not obey the laws of physics. Just like that. Like, oh my god.
And he's right too.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Like,
but nobody cares.
Yeah. All right.
I wouldn't change it for the world. We need to stop talking about this.
Yeah, I want to stop just because, if not, I just want to keep going.
I know. It's already quarter to midnight. We'll be here forever, but...
Point of the story is Captain America
really
Civil War sucked. It was terrible. Don't go see it.
Yeah. Fuck those guys.
I'm just kidding.
Go see Batman Superman.
Fuck you.
I want Tony Stark's mom's name to be Martha.
Yeah.
What if all superheroes' moms were named?
Aunt Martha? Isn't that what he called her in the movie?
What if
Peter Parker's aunt?
Aunt Martha?
May is short for Martha.
Oh my god. Seriously though, versus Tomei.
Oh my god! Right?
Come on.
Who's Uncle Ben? I love that. Tony Stark was like,
who's gonna play? You know what, Chris Davis?
Todd Howard.
While I am curious, who Uncle Ben is.
Oh my god, isn't it great too that like we introduced Spider-Man into a movie and
didn't
run
kill
over
Uncle
the whole,
Ben?
We didn't even say the
yeah.
name Uncle
so,
Ben.
So that's my point. Like I am curious to see what Uncle Ben was like after seeing Marissa Tomei's Aunt May. But at this point, my not wanting to see more Uncle Ben completely outweighs how curious I am about it. So just forget it. Move on. Aunt May.
Yeah, we get it. We know.
In Amazing Spider-Man, it was Martin Sheen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want them to just make it like really weird and awkward. I want it to be like Sam Elliott or somebody like
that. Sam Elliott wouldn't be good. What about make it Charlie Sheen?
Oh, God.
Charlie Sheen and Marissa Tomei.
No, Charlie Day.
Charlie Day.
Just make it even more weird.
He's a Charlie Day.
No.
Yeah, I don't see Charlie Day as an
Vito.
Uncle
Tommy Lee Jones.
Danny DeVito.
Too old.
Danny DeVito.
No, plus Tommy Lee Jones was already in a Marvel movie.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
Can you picture Danny DeVito saying, with great power comes great responsibility?
Yes, I can. I can, actually.
And that would be awesome.
And then he would be in both a Marvel and a DC movie. Because
oh,
he was the Penguin.
He was. All right, we need to wrap this up. Thank you guys for listening. We hope you guys enjoyed the movie as much as we did. We'll be doing another one of these whenever the next movie comes out.
Suicide Squad soon.
Suicide Squad is in August. I will drag some people.
Isn't there something at the end of May? Some big movie.
We don't want to go see Independence Day 2.
Oh, never mind.
I will drag someone into a podcast with me for Jason Bourne, but we'll talk. That's a whole nother beast. We'll talk about that later. Anyways, I guess we're going to go ahead and cut the recording. We talked about that movie for 72 minutes, guys.
Yeah. I'm not certain we actually talked about the movie for 72 minutes.
Yeah, we go off many tangents, but
I think
we talked
about the movie for about 35.
There are a lot of tangents to be had when it comes to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I think that's a good thing. So, Until next time, guys, thanks for listening. 4playernetwork.com is the website, and of course, I don't know what I'm going to say.
We love you.
We love you. Good night. You. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Good morning.
Good day.
Yeah, that too.
Wherever you are.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.